Douglas Crook, Wednesday, October 31st, 2012.
Last week we began to consider the portion of Scripture found in Proverbs 31, beginning of verse 10. It is the portion of Scripture that is known as the description of the virtuous woman. And we're looking at this passage both in a literal sense as well as the spiritual lessons that can be learned from it. And from the literal sense, we understand that this is God's idea of the virtuous woman, and more specifically, a virtuous wife and mother. And this is what God intended for womanhood to be, and this is what every godly woman should desire to be. And as we had in our introduction, no one is able, no woman is able to fulfill all of these virtuous characteristics apart from a dependence on the grace of God. But as you daily learn to yield yourself and your attitudes and your will to the will of God, He will make you this kind of godly woman that honors God and that is of great worth, of great value. And so, ladies, you should look at it that way and understand that God's grace is sufficient to shape you to be this kind of woman. But then I believe the greater lesson, I say greater, you have to understand the literal application before you can ever step up to the spiritual. But then there is a greater lesson, and that is to understand that this is really a lesson that both male and female, those who fear the Lord, can learn to understand that these are the virtues that Jesus Christ is looking for in those believers that will make up the company known as the Lamb's wife. And so men and women, as we read this description and we see these virtues that God says, this is what I'm looking for, we understand that that's what He wants in my life spiritually. As a male believer who wants to be a part of that company that will be known as the eternal partner of the Lord Jesus Christ, to share with Him as a joint equal heir, I need to let these spiritual virtues be developed in me just as much as the women need to let this be developed in their relationship here on earth. So let's, we reached verse 13, so we'll pick it up there. The description of a virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Did I say Proverbs 30 in my introduction? Proverbs 31 is what I meant. So Proverbs 31 and verses 13 to 15. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. So this passage tells us clearly that a virtuous woman, a godly woman, is not lazy, but rather willing to work and basically to do whatever is necessary for the good of her family, to provide for her family, to watch for her family, to administer the household. Godly mothers are those that willingly and often secretly, when nobody else is around or no one else knows what's going on, they make sacrifices for their children, for their husband, and they go to great lengths to provide what they need when they need it. And for the most part, especially when children are involved, those who benefit the most from those sacrifices are often the ones who are the least grateful for those sacrifices, which of course makes it even more difficult for mothers. The virtuous woman delights in doing whatever she can for her family. I think of my mother when we were growing up. There were five boys, and every Saturday night, and by the way, if you tell mothers that Sundays are a day of rest, they'll either laugh at you or they will start crying, one or the other, because Sundays are the most hectic day for mothers, and I appreciate the mothers in this assembly that make the effort to get their children here, not only for Sunday morning, but for every possible service that they can. There's a lot of sacrifices involved for both parents, but especially for mothers who have to make sure there's clothes to wear on Sunday morning. And as I mentioned, my mom, she would, every Saturday night, she would stay up late and polish five pairs of little boy shoes, and they would all be on the kitchen table when we woke up. All done, she would iron our white shirts, and we all had nice pressed white shirts. But the point is this, that mothers make a lot of sacrifices that nobody else knows about, and yet they benefit from it, but I don't ever remember waking up Sunday morning and say, Mom, thank you for my polished shoes and my iron shirt. I don't remember ever saying that. But that's just one of a few things. And so mothers make those kinds of sacrifices without thinking about it. It's just what you do. That is, a godly mother will do that. A virtuous woman will do that. The spiritual lesson that we can learn from that is, all of us, male or female, are we willing to do whatever is necessary, to make any sacrifice necessary, to minister to the spiritual needs of the family of God, our brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we willing to put our hands to the flax, to our hand to the spindle, and to do the kind of hard labor that's necessary to provide for others? And sadly, that is kind of a lost thought among Christians today. We live in a selfish country, and the church, for the most part, is made up of selfish Christians. People are looking for a church. What can the church do for me? And that's the vast majority of calls that I get is, what kind of programs do you have to help me? What can you do for me? And I understand that those things are part of the church ministry. But I'm talking about believers who want to be everything that God wants us to be, to obtain to that highest place in glory. This is the virtue that God's looking for in you. Are you willing to make the sacrifice for the benefit of others? And again, the context is of the spiritual needs of God's people. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2, where we have the example of the Apostle Paul, who, like a mother, in fact, he describes himself as such, made some great sacrifices, was willing to labor and to labor hard without praise or without, and sometimes, as in the case with the Corinthians, those who benefited the most from his ministry and sacrifices were the least appreciative of what he did. And the question is, are we willing to be that kind of Christian, a virtuous Christian, a godly individual, brother or sister in the Lord? 1 Thessalonians 2, we'll read verses 7 to 12. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. This is the Apostle Paul talking about his dealings with the Thessalonian saints. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. It sounds like a loving mother, doesn't it? For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil. He put his hand to the spindle, didn't he? For laboring night and day, that we might be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. All of Paul's efforts and sacrifices were in order to give the Thessalonians the opportunity to live a life that honors God, and to provide for them the spiritual nourishment that was necessary for them to live that kind of life. Now, obviously, he had a calling as an apostle that we don't have. Obviously, not everyone's called to public ministry of the gospel. But every child of God is an ambassador of the grace of God. Every one of us are called to be espoused. We are espoused to Christ. And this time, this church age, is the espousal time, the engagement time, that we can be the eternal partner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he will only wed with a virtuous woman, with a virtuous believer, the kind that is willing to make these kinds of sacrifices for the spiritual and eternal well-being of others. Ask yourself, when was the last time? And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm not going to ask you to offer anything. But I do want you to be honest with yourself and let the Holy Spirit examine you. When was the last time you made a sacrifice that you labored when it was inconvenient to do so for the good of someone else, especially the spiritual and eternal well-being of someone else? Stop and let the Holy Spirit examine you and see if this is really a virtue that characterizes you, not just on one occasion. And if you're having to spend some time, well, let's see, when was the last time? Well, you probably already have your answer. When I ask a young mother here today, when was the last time that you toiled for your family, they'll think this morning around the dishwasher or the laundry room or cleaning up the room or fixing the meal. They don't have to think too far back to find those little laboring tasks that they do, because they're willing to work with their hands. And the same should be true with us about our spiritual service. When was the last time we made those kinds of sacrifices? Jesus is looking for that virtue in you. Proverbs 31, verses 16 and 17, a couple of more virtues. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. Now, from these verses, we can understand that a wise woman is one who's a good administrator and manager of the family funds. There's some indication in that day, sometimes when a young lady was married, she brought with her own inheritance from her family, and that she was able to use that however she wanted to. And that could be part of the picture that's being painted for us, that she actually used her own funds to buy this field in order to gain a profit. And as we'll find out as we continue with it, that the description here, she uses that those funds and that profit that technically would be hers, but she uses it for the good of the family. And again, this is something that God is looking for. And as she considers a field and buys it, and like I say, the stereotype that the Bible was written by a bunch of male chauvinists who don't like women, and the Apostle Paul was a male chauvinist, as you begin to examine the Scripture, you find out that nothing could be further from the truth, that God's ideal for the woman, for the wife, is never that of what it corrupted to be in the human race, and that is that they're just property and they're to be treated like property. Quite to the contrary, the inspired Word of God tells us that the ideal woman is a good businesswoman, one who knows how to manage the household, including the funds. And here she makes a smart business decision. And it doesn't say that the man had any input here. It was not that he didn't or not that he shouldn't, but the fact that this was something that she looked and she saw, you know, this would be profitable. This would be something that would help the family to have stability and strength and to prosper. And so she saw the opportunity and she took advantage of it. And that's something that God recognizes in women as something that he considers to be virtuous. She uses her own resources and energy and strength, and she takes advantage of the opportunity. And this is something that God is looking for in women. In too many households, there is either a wife or sometimes it's the husband, but one or the other is selfish in their wishes and their demands, and they bring the family to financial ruin because of selfishness. Rather than taking advantage to do what is best for the family, they do what they want to do when, where, and how. Well, God doesn't find that to be virtuous at all. He finds that to be foolish. Thank God for godly women who are faithful managers, administrators of the household. So that's the literal application. But now let's go to the spiritual. This is what God is looking for in the believer. 1 Corinthians 4. Just as the wife is to be an administrator of the household. Now we know that the man is the head of the household, but the administrator of the household is to be the wife. And that takes some business skills. But the Christian, the one who wants to obtain to be the Lamb's wife, must also be a good administrator of what God has placed in our hands. In 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards, administrators of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. It's required in Christians. Are we, with the wealth that we've been given, are we looking around for the opportunities to prosper the Word of God in the hearts and lives of individuals? Are we considering fields? And the fields that we consider are the hearts of men and women. Are we looking around to see the vineyard that could possibly, the fruit, the harvest that could be in that individual or that situation? Are we considering the fields? But too often we just go through life and we take care of our business and just whatever we need and when we need it, and we just walk through life with blinders. But that's not what a good businesswoman does. That's not what a good virtuous believer does. We, in every circumstance and situation, are looking for opportunities to bring forth a harvest of spiritual fruit in the lives of individuals. Don't just drudge through life without looking for those opportunities. And then when you see them, now you got to plant the vineyard. That means there's some work involved. When you plant a vineyard, it's not just, you know, you don't just buy the land and throw out the seeds there. There's plowing to be done. There's weeding to be done. In the relationships that you have, stop and think about this. If this is just spiritual analogy and if it's just theology we're considering here, then it won't be any profit. But I want you to stop and think about every relationship you have in business, at home, your neighborhood, your family. Do you stop to consider that there could possibly be some fruit in that life, but it's going to take a little work from me? I'm going to have to invest some time. I'm going to have to kind of care for some things in a relationship and continue to plant the seed, continue to water, continue to weed, and see if maybe, and we understand that each individual has to yield to that and allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. We can't make it happen in their lives. But are we willing to labor in order to bring forth that harvest? Proverbs 31, verses 18 and 19. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. Again, we see that she's very diligent, hardworking, puts in a lot of hours, a lot of time. And the reason that she does is she understands that it's worthwhile. She's not arrogant. Some people might think she's a little arrogant. Well, she thinks her cloths and the things that she makes and sews, well, she thinks she's pretty good. Well, she knows they're good because she's put in the effort. She knows the material is worth it. She knows what's out there in the market. And she knows what she's producing, and she knows it's quality stuff. It's not going to fall apart on people because the same things that she makes, as we'll find out, that she makes for her own family. That's what she's selling in the marketplace. If it's good enough for her family, she knows it's going to be good enough for somebody else. Now, the thought behind these verses is that the virtuous woman is confident that her labors are not in vain or insignificant, but they're going to bring a profit. Again, a mother is probably one of the most unappreciated persons on the planet. But she keeps doing it because she knows it's worth investment in her children. To give them the opportunity. Now, again, they'll have to make the choices themselves when they become young adults, but at least to give them the opportunity to make the right choices. And that's why a mother continues to sacrifice even when it seems like nobody cares that she's putting forth so much effort. So, ladies, don't get discouraged. You keep knowing that what you're doing is worth it. Even if nobody else tells you, know that your merchandise is good. And what you are doing for these children is not only for time, but for eternity. 1 Corinthians 15:58. We as Christians need to be characterized by this same virtue. Why do we preach the gospel? Why do we support a relatively small, insignificant assembly with its teachings? Why do we sometimes put up with one another when sometimes there's personality conflicts? Why do we continue to make the efforts that we make? Because we understand something. What we have to offer is good. And it's not because we're making it. It's not because we're the source of this merchandise, but because we understand that what we have been given freely is the Word of God. And it's the only thing that can save the lost, and it's the only thing that can build up the saints of God to a full inheritance and a full reward. We know that our merchandise is good because it's from God Himself. It's the sound doctrine, the sound teaching that comes from God. And so we like mothers, are sometimes discouraged, and sometimes when people complain about this or that, or they don't understand that this is what you're doing and why you're doing it, and maybe even sometimes call you arrogant because you make these statements that, you know, what we have to offer is good and needed. We keep doing it if we understand this is good, because it comes from God. This is what the family of God needs. This is what the world needs. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Word of God has power to save lives, to transform lives, and to prepare them for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at the disasters like on the East Coast, and we understand how quickly these material, natural things are just wiped away, this life truly is a vapor in so many senses. But what we hide in our heart, and what we give others the opportunity to hide in their heart of the Word of God, that truly is for eternity. And saints, I believe that with all of my heart. There are times when I get discouraged and I get tired of the battle. And I sometimes it seems like there's one headbutt after another, not just within the church, but others who have opinions of the church. And it's like, you know, why? I'm tired. I don't want this anymore. And then I think of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And God gave him a word and a message for Israel that was, Israel, you need to repent. Nobody likes to hear that. But he said, if you don't, judgment's coming. And so every time Jeremiah got up to preach, you know, he might have wanted to get up and preach, you know, we're all just okay with God and God is love. And he might have wanted to preach those kinds of sermons. But every time he got up, because God told him what to say, he had to say, Israel, you need to repent because judgment's coming. And if you repent, you'll know the goodness and the grace of God. But if you don't, judgment is coming. So you can imagine that people didn't really like to hear him preach very much. And he got to the place where he finally said, you know, I'm tired. I'm not going to speak in the name of the Lord anymore. I'm just not going to do it. I'm tired of it. And you know what happened? He said, that's what I determined to do, but I couldn't do it. Because the word of God was like a fire burning in my heart. And I couldn't contain it. He knew it was true. He knew it was the word of God. He knew that's what people needed to hear if they wanted to know the goodness and the grace of God. And so he preached what he knew to be the word of God. We need to do the same, saints. You won't always be popular as an individual. You won't always be popular by speaking the truth. Do it in love, but speak the truth. And you won't always be popular, but you will be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Well, let's look at one more. Proverbs 31, 20 and 21. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Because she's such a wise manager, her family is prospering, and the scarlet-colored clothing is a sign of wealth. And so her family is well-dressed, and they're well-covered, and she's not afraid that they're going to freeze or go hungry during the winter because she's well-prepared, because she's labored, because she's been faithful. But then it goes beyond her own family. And she also extends her kindness and her concern for those outside of her family who are needy. A godly woman is faithful to look to her family's needs. But something that is important for godly women, and that is to not to fall into the trap of pride and selfishness, that it becomes all about your family. There is a responsibility there. There's an accountability, both husband and wife, to take care of your family and minister to their needs. But far too many times among Christians, that same concern and that same diligence doesn't go beyond the family's walls. But that's not what God's looking for in Christians. So many problems arise in a local assembly because families and mothers and fathers are so concerned about the needs and wishes and the feelings of their children that they lose sight of the needs and the wishes and the emotions of other individuals in the assembly. There needs to be that divine balance. Take care of your family, but then understand that you also need to be concerned about the needs of other family members, that is, the family of God. The Lamb's wife will be made up of saints that have not only cared for their own spiritual life, but have understood their responsibility to help care for the spiritual needs of others. And it really does simply go, one of the things that, you know, I mentioned sometimes as a pastor, I get discouraged. And one thing that the Spirit always reminds me of when I throw myself a pity party is simply this. It's not my responsibility to change lives. It's not my responsibility what you do with the Word of God. But it is my responsibility, and I will be held accountable for this as a pastor, whether or not I am willing to make the sacrifices to give each individual the opportunity to do what's right in the sight of God, to give them the opportunity to know and to experience the power of God through the Word of God and through the working of the Holy Spirit to change lives. I have that responsibility to make those opportunities available. And as a pastor, that's a clear responsibility. But what we see in the virtuous woman is that every one of you have that same responsibility as well. Just coming to church is not a matter of you coming and what do you get out of church. It's a matter of you giving others the opportunity to know the Lord and to grow in the Lord. Once again, I ask you to simply ask yourself, are these virtues that we considered tonight, are they characteristic of your life? When the Lord examines you, is this the kind of Christian he's going to find you to be? Saints, I want this for me. And again, I can't reach this goal apart from a complete surrender to the grace of God. But I know that as I do surrender my will to His will, He will develop these characteristics in me. Am I willing? Do I desire to be a virtuous believer? Well, let's stand. We'll close there this evening.